This is America Weekend, and I'm Mike Bennett. We'll be talking with Ashley Banfield of CNN in just a moment. But first, a guy secretly recorded his doctor saying she wanted to hit him, joked that he has sexually transmitted diseases while he was under anesthesia. An unnamed man received a $500,000 judgment from a jury after accidentally recording his doctors as they performed a colonoscopy on him at a medical suite in Reston, Virginia, back in April 2013. The man was under anesthesia while anesthesiologist Tiffany Ingram said that she wanted to punch him in the face, joked that he had sexually transmitted diseases, and even falsely put on his chart that he was suffering from hemorrhoids. The man from Vienna, Virginia, was having a colonoscopy and pressed record on his smartphone to be sure he would not miss any instructions from the doctor as it pertained to what he should do after the procedure. What he heard, however, was the anesthesiologist who said she wanted to punch him and accused him of having a sexually transmitted disease. As a result, he's now been awarded a payment of $500,000. According to one of the jurors, there was not much defense. Everything was on the tape. 8 is Enough star Dick Van Patten died this week. Van Patten was 86. He died at a Santa Monica hospital early Tuesday from complications from diabetes. He was best known as Tom Bradford on the late 1970s sitcom 8 is Enough as the goofy dad of a family with 8 kids. 1/4 of Americans lie to their dentists about flossing. A survey also found that New Yorkers said they were most likely to floss daily, while people in Atlanta were more likely to be honest about flossing when asked by their dentists. And the top 3 unpleasant activities that people would rather do than floss were washing a sink full of dirty dishes, cleaning the toilet, and waiting in a long checkout line. Organic food doesn't taste better. It's actually all in your mind. Researchers gave people a taste test with organic food and non-organic food. They found people who preferred organic food claimed that the samples tasted better than normal produce, even when they were no different. The researchers say it's because there's a moral satisfaction associated with eating food produced in an ethical way. People are more likely to enjoy it. Shopping makes people happy, right? Well, no, it doesn't. A neuroeconomist, Dr. Paul Zak, and his colleagues measured brain activity while people made decisions involving money and other people. They studied people's shopping, with some shoppers receiving a surprise award at checkout, either $40 cash or a gift of handmade chocolate. The people who got the cash experienced an immediate and lasting jolt of oxytocin, the love and connection hormone of the brain. But the shopping did not produce feelings of happiness by itself. You had a budget that you had to meet, you're shopping under time pressure, and it really wasn't fun. What about the shoppers given candy? Chocolate was okay, people kind of liked it, but money beats chocolate. Facebook's new face recognition technology can identify you even when you aren't looking in the photo. Researchers looked at almost 40,000 public photos from Flickr, some of the people with their full face clearly visible, others looking away. They found the technology was able to identify people with 83% accuracy. When your face isn't visible in a photo, the technology looks for other unique characteristics like your hairdo, clothing, body shape, and pose to help recognize you. True story, this week I posted a picture of Ashley Banfield on Facebook, and it immediately identified it as my wife. I would say I wish, but my wife may hear this program. Veteran TV reporter Ashley Banfield is now the anchor of Legal View on CNN every weekday at noon. Hey, Ashley.
Hi, Mike.
Hello, Ashley. How are you?
Good.
So you're getting ready to go on the air today at noon, right? This is what you're doing every day, Legal View, weekdays at noon on CNN.
Getting ready. I've already put in, 3.5 hours.
So not much preparation.
Well, I've already put in 3.5 hours, and I've got another 3 to go. And, we jam a pretty quick, fresh show every day before 12 noon. I love it when people say, what a great schedule you have. You know, wake up late, show up at noon. It's like, yeah, it doesn't work that way in television journalism.
So what do you do before the show? Do you have to put all the guests together and everything like that?
Yeah, we start fresh every day. We don't have an overnight team. We don't repurpose news from the day before or the night before. We convene as a group by about 5 a.m. and 6 a.m., and we have our first editorial meeting between Atlanta and New York by video conference at 7 a.m., with a rundown already in place by 7 a.m. The rundown is completely amorphic and shifts a million times per hour until we hit the 12 noon hour. And very often during the 12 noon hour, it's shifting as well. We're dropping guests, dropping segments, adding new ones, going to breaking news. But it's just an immense amount of reading. It's an immense amount of taking in facts, highlighting talking points, conversing and coming up with other talking points. And then most of the time, a lot of that interviewing just has to come from the top of your head because you just don't have time to research at all. No, I'm a 400-a-day email reader. And last night I was trying to clear the last of them and couldn't shut my light off until 11:30. And, you know, alarm goes off at 5.
Well, you don't get much sympathy from the morning show, guys.
Ever. That's the thing. It drives me crazy. In the news business, everybody, you know, there's always someone who has it so much worse. So you don't get sympathy at all.
Now, is your show reaching an international audience or just domestic?
I am a domestic network broadcaster. However, yesterday, as the Manhunt news conference got underway, we immediately simulcasted internationally. So my executive producer will alert me over my earpiece, called an IFB, and say, we're going international. And that's a cue to me to at some point say, I want to welcome my viewers here in the United States and around the world. So we've just all of a sudden, the international broadcast has said, look, we can't cover that New York manhunt like the folks in America can. So let's just simulcast their signal. And that's when you'll see me in Hong Kong and Malaysia and Tunisia and everywhere else.
So there is interest globally about those two escapees, huh?
You know, I think it's like a little bit of a Hollywood drama. Escaped murderers on the loose. They don't simulcast all of our big stories, but they do tap into a lot of them.
By the way, Dana Mora has canceled the free screening of Shawshank Redemption tonight.
You know what I keep thinking? I keep thinking that if / when these guys are going to be caught, because I really believe that news is tightening on their location, they'll probably be shipped right back to the Clinton facility, where living conditions for the remaining prisoners got so awful, the honor block on which they used to have their cells is gone. No more privileges, no more cooking food in your own cells. All those inmates are going to have such a hate on for these guys, I don't think life's going to be very good.
So where do you get those signature glasses that you wear on TV?
I do get that question a lot. And in fact, I've been wearing them for, I think, gosh, almost 20 years. And I always use the same guy because I can't find glasses on my own anywhere, although I've tried. It's the guy I first bought them from in Dallas, Texas. It's just this little shop called Image Eyewear, and his name's Jeff. And I call him and say, you know, a year is up again and these are battered. Can you send me a new set of frames? And then he puts the lenses in and away we go.
Well, you ought to be like the singer Lisa Loeb. She started her own eyewear line.
I'm not that clever. If I could start a business and be a journalist at the same time, I would. But truly, with the schedule I keep and the two children and the commuting every day as single mom, it's just not going to happen.
Is there at least a photograph of you in that store in Dallas?
I don't know. That's a good question. I never asked.
Oh, if that was my shop, I'd have you plastered all over the place. You're so recognizable.
Well, the glasses, someone once said, should have an agent of their own. I do get a lot of requests about them. But you know what's funny is that where I used to be such a weirdo for wearing these glasses on the air, now everybody wears them.
Yeah, well, they sort of give you an authoritative look, but you really need them just to see what you're doing.
I'm completely blind as a bat. They are the last thing off my face when I put my head on the pillow. I take them off and put them on the nightstand. And when I wake up, I reach over and, you know, stomp around with my hand trying to find them and put them on. It's that bad.
You got to get your LASIK. Both of us got the LASIK correction. You got to do that.
Trust me, I have been back and forth. I'm not a candidate, and they keep saying that I'm degenerating at such a pace I might actually become a candidate, but I go back every 5 years and I'm still not a candidate. If I could doff these things, I would in a heartbeat. I hate being a slave to these things.
So I just got to ask you one thing, because I know you worked at all the networks. Any comment at all on the whole Brian Williams situation? And apparently he's coming back to MSNBC, so he's going to join you on cable.
What I find the most surprising about the Brian controversy is how huge it is and how visceral some of the critics have been about his infraction, about the punishment, about his on-air interview with Matt Lauer. They have dissected it at such a molecular level, I keep wondering, did anyone die? You know, and part of me sort of chuckles at how introspective everyone's become about it. And then the other part of me realizes how important the craft is and how critical being straight and honest is. And so, look, I wish the best for him. He's a hard worker. He's a smart man. I think he could maybe have been a little less anchorman in the interview with Matt Lauer and a little bit more contrite Brian. But who am I? I'm not walking in his shoes. I don't know what he's going through, what his torture has been. He's seen his entire world fall in front of him, and that's pretty devastating. So, you know, I hope the best for him. I know a lot of people at my old network, MSNBC, adore him, and they will welcome him with open arms, despite what other headlines have said. They are not ruining the day that he shows up, not by a stretch. But I think he'll do very well, and I think he's a good enough journalist to earn people's trust and respect back, and he'll have a good career. See, thank you so much. It's great to talk to you guys.
Thank you, Ashley.
Cheers.
With Ashley Banfield of CNN, I'm Mike Bennett. You're listening to America Weekend on the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This Hall of Fame third baseman won 5 batting titles, owns a .328 career average, and is the only Rays player to have his jersey retired. And his 3,000th career hit came in grand fashion.
And there's a drive. Deep right field. It is gone!
So where is Wade Boggs now? Wade bought a fishing camp called Fenway, which his dad ran until his death in 2009. Wade's popped up on TV, appearing as himself in episodes of Cheers, Psych, and The Simpsons. But one of his most recent accomplishments is his success with medical hair restoration.
I had a lot of people say, well, you look too young to be in the Hall of Fame. Whenever you get that kind of compliment, that really gives you a lot of self-confidence.
Wade Boggs, his new hair is a hit. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Tired of high cable bills? Call 888-759-MYTV. With packages as low as $19.99 for 4 rooms, you can't go wrong. Call now, 888-759-MYTV.
Welcome to American Biker Minute, author of Snakes, Guillotines, and Electric Chairs, My Adventures in the Alice Cooper Group.
I wrote a book about tossing chickens at the crowd.
Dennis Dunaway, today on American Biker Minute.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal, and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial, along with 2 free extras and free shipping. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute. Dennis Dunaway's book, Snakes, Guillotines, and Electric Chairs.
It turned into this big, giant machine. What would make the most profit? It lost its appeal to us.
If it weren't for bikers,
they could see, as bizarre as we dressed and stuff, that we were social outcasts. The bikers always came to our rescue. Peace-loving hippies wouldn't like what we were doing. The bikers would keep them in line, tell them to shut up.
American Biker Minute.
Let us play.
Passport to the open road, not 2 wheels.